Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio. I'll be your host, the Healthy Voyager, Carolyn Scott. Welcome to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. I'm Carolyn Scott, a.k.a. the Healthy Voyager from HealthyVoyager.com. We are one day closer to the weekend, and some people are still eking out the last of the warm weather. I know that here in L.A. it's going to be another hot one, even though it seemed as though it was going to cool down a bit. But no, back to the heat, which I don't mind at all. Others are already starting to see some fall, but unfortunately we didn't get to see that out here. But that's okay. I kind of like the heat. But it is officially fall on Monday, so maybe it won't be so hot anymore. Alrighty, so today's show is sponsored by Golden Earth. Golden Earth offers a line of essential oil body care products that include fragrant blends, aromatherapy bath gels, and lotions, and unscented lotions. What makes their products unique is the 100% pure organic and wild-crafted essential oil blends that have been designed with the intention of wellness in mind. You can find out more about Golden Earth and purchase their products on their website at www.goldenearth.net. Make sure it's .net, not .com. Also, Golden Earth is offering a 15% off discount on your online purchases at Golden Earth by using the following coupon code. It is GENEX2009. That's GENEX2009. Make sure you don't forget to put that in at your time of purchase so that you can get your yummy products at a discount. Alrighty, so I know that 2009 has been a tough year and we're heading into the last quarter of the year, and I'm sure many people are looking forward to 2010 with a lot of hope that things are turning around, and it kind of feels like they are. But everywhere in the nation as well as worldwide, people have been having some trying times. And I know that sometimes despite our best efforts that you may not see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it seems kind of dim sometimes. And we all get the blues and we all get down, and we've all had our share of tough luck. And yes, some more than others. But what makes all the difference in how we get through these times as well as future difficult times is how we face them and take them on. Every now and again, we are touched by a story of someone or something that has happened and how they've overcome adversity against all odds. And those stories help us, even if it's just a smidge, to prove that, yeah, you know what? Even though things might kind of suck right now, the only way to go from here is up. And if you push hard enough and believe in yourself, you'll get out of your rut. Brighter days are always ahead, no matter how horrible it may seem at some point. And today we'll be chatting with two wonderful athletes, both who have overcome adversity in their professional careers in two very different ways. These guys will prove to you that no matter what happens or what someone may tell you, there is always a way to make it work, to prove that when there is a will, there is a way. And you don't have to be an athlete like my guests happen to be today. You just have to be human and be able to relate to this very human phenomenon. This can be applied to any aspect of life, be it money troubles, relationships, careers, weight loss, whatever. We've all been in that spot, from, you know, being angry that we can't get the weight off to why we can't seem to keep our heads above water and move forward. But the one thing that you have to remember is the you factor. You know, sure, there's some situations where you kind of have crappy luck, and there are some times when you have the power to get out of whatever situation you're in. It just takes time and patience and some hard work and sacrifice. And a helping hand never hurts. I think having a good support system in place is a very special part of the equation of healing and reassessing and resetting goals and life situations. No matter what you may be going through, you know, whether it's a big endeavor that you may be launching into, or you may have chosen a path that you think is best for you, sometimes, you know, the road less traveled is what you got to take. And it's kind of getting to your destination is kind of more of the payoff than actually getting to the destination. So what you learn along the way, whether it's trial and tribulation or triumph, it's learning, and it's getting to where you need to go, whether you were going in that direction or not. But it's all a learning process, and it's not impossible. I think that you know, definitely don't go it alone, and that there are very few things in this world that are impossible. And who knows, maybe someday they won't be with all this crazy technology and whatnot. So I have compiled a list of a few things to do when you're feeling down and out. If even for just a moment, these can really help you clear your mind and help reassess the situation at hand and reset. And I'm sure you've even heard of most of these, but, you know, sometimes we need some reminding. So, okay, the first one is breathe. Sometimes we just need about 5 minutes to sit in a quiet room and breathe. Concentrating on your breath can help clear your mind and allow you to calm down, as well as oxygenation of your blood. And what happens, that gives you kind of a sense of euphoria. And we could all use a little of that. That's why, you know, in a lot of these hot yoga classes and stuff like that, they tell you to kind of breathe like a panting dog. Because what that does is it oxygenates your blood and it gets you concentrating on your breath so you forget everything else. And then you kind of feel the sense of euphoria so you don't feel that pain of standing in that tree pose for a million years. Exercise. Even if it's just a quick walk around the neighborhood, get active, get the blood flowing, and get away from whatever it is that's making your brain about to explode. Leave your phone at home, put on your tunes, and get moving. Get your heart pumping, get your blood flowing, and that is also another natural stimulant and can lessen the effects of stress and depression. Eat right, the foundation of my entire platform, Healthy Voyager. The cleaner and more balanced your diet is, the better our body and mind can function. The more sugar and processed foods and stimulants we consume, the quicker we crash, causing fatigue, mood swings, and weight gain, illness, and poor sleeping patterns. And with poor sleeping patterns, the cycle only continues as we are not allowing our bodies to have that rejuvenating time to heal and to reset. So many benefits to eating a clean diet. But today, we're going to talk about it in relation to stress and mood. Uplifting foods equal uplifting minds and well-being. Have a support system. Make sure that you have a go-to or a few go-to people who you know you can talk to, but may also make sure that you can return the favor, because no one wants someone who is always dumping on them and crying on their shoulder and then won't turn around and lend an ear when they need it. So make sure that it goes both ways when you have that support system, that you can also be that support system. Take time away to spend with friends or loved ones who are really comfortable, you're really comfortable with talking to, and who can also help you talk through some solutions. Then perhaps, you know, you can have a good chuckle and do something fun to get your mind off things. But it's incredibly unhealthy to keep things bottled up. And again, you don't have to go it alone. We all need somebody. The Beatles even said that, right? We all need somebody. Remember, it's your life. Sometimes we can get so caught up in what this person is doing and that person is doing and what that other person has instead of what we have. And no one is perfect. And we don't know what someone else is going through behind closed doors. So, you know, besides, you aren't here to live someone else's life, and you're here for you, and you should do what is best for you. And sure, there are some missed opportunities sometimes, and sometimes you make some unpopular decisions. But all in all, it's your life and you are what you make it. Don't miss out on your life because you're spending time wishing you had somebody else's. Do all the things that you can and do your best at them to get where you want to go. And make sure you take the time that it takes to be there. Don't rush, because getting to your destination is sometimes the best part. And alrighty, so that's enough for the cliches and the pep talk. Let's get to the guests who can illustrate all of these helpful and enlightened life lessons. My first guest is one of the only professional athletes in the world whose diet is 100% plant-based. He is a professional Ironman triathlete, best-selling author on performance nutrition, and the creator of an award-winning line of whole food nutritional products called Vega. He is also a two-time Canadian 50-kilometer ultra-marathon champion. And I have on the phone now with me, vegan Ironman himself, Brendan Brazier. Hello, Brendan.
Hi, Carolyn.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. So I know quite a bit about you, but I'd love for you to tell our listeners who may not be up on what you're working on or what you've done in the past to kind of tell us a little bit about you and what influenced you to start training as a professional athlete.
Yeah, sure. I've been an athlete since I guess I was about 15 years old, and I first got into it when I was in high school, just running track like a lot of kids do, but I just really enjoyed it and decided that I would try and make a career out of that and have athletics be my career and do that full time. So that's how it got started. It was really just out of enjoyment for the sport more so than anything else.
Very cool. Did you catch any flack from other athletes or doctors or your family even when you decided to go vegan and continue your training?
Yeah, absolutely, I did. It was, like I said, it was 1990 when I first got into it, and that's around the time when I became vegan too. And yeah, it wasn't a very well accepted way of doing things, especially for an athlete. And I did. I got concerns from people. Just, of course, the common concerns, like, where am I going to get my protein and my vitamin B12 and iron and calcium and omega-3 fatty acids. And my coach, my high school track coach, really was not too interested in it. He was he was a great coach, but he was, I think, because he had so much success, he was somewhat closed-minded and really wasn't interested in looking at new avenues of different approaches, really, and ways to do things. So it was kind of unfortunate, but when I look back on that, I think his uninterest in it, his disinterest in it, actually spurred me on even more and made me think that if this really good coach doesn't realize the value that good nutrition can bring to an athlete, then there's probably a lot of other good coaches who are in his position, and maybe this really hasn't been looked at as well as it should be, and maybe if I looked into it, maybe I could shed some new light on a plant-based diet and in the athletic arena, and just see if I could help it to boost athletic performance.
So did you, back then, did you just start to research it on your own? I mean, I know in 1990 we were not up on the internet yet. So was it just basically a lot of going to the library and hitting the bookstores and just kind of doing what you could on your own research, you know, on how to properly get what you needed for your training?
Yeah, it really was. And it was a long process. It was pretty drawn out. But I started off just, I guess like a lot of people, just trying different ways of eating to see what worked best for me. And yeah, plant-based diet was just next on the list. Nothing else had really worked amazing. I didn't think it, some were better than others. Some of the diets I tried, but nothing was great. And the plant-based diet was just one that at first I really didn't do right. I was hungry a lot of the time. I was tired and I wasn't performing well. And then I did some research and I found what I was lacking, like vitamin B12 and iron, calcium, omega-3 fats, and found plant-based sources for each of those and blended them together and had a blender drink every day after my workout. And it really did work. It helped me speed recovery and it helped me be able to train more, which made me a better athlete. And it didn't taste good, but it did work. It was functional, so it was good enough for me.
What were the sources that you were using to get your iron and your protein and your B12 back then?
Back then, I actually, for protein, I was using soy protein isolate, but I later realized that it was actually, because it is an isolate, it's no longer a whole food, so it's quite acid-forming. So it promotes inflammation, and it's not really the best source. So I switched over to hemp protein later on once I realized that. But, yeah, like I say, I started off with the soy protein isolate for protein, pumpkin seeds, ground-up pumpkin seeds for iron, and flax seeds for omega-3 fatty acids. And just, have this drink and had it, each day. And within about, I guess, 6 to 8 weeks, I really noticed a significant difference that it definitely made a difference in my training.
Very cool. So since you started in high school as a high school athlete, and you had coaches then, when you finished high school and kept going on with your athletic career, did you do it on your own or did you hire trainers? Did you, within your resources, find someone who did follow your specific diet needs as a trainer? How did you go about doing that?
I really just did things on my own. I think there's a few reasons for it. One, I'm interested in finding the best nutrition program for me and how to come by doing that. And I think it is somewhat individual, so I wanted to find it on my own, and I really didn't know anyone who had gone this route before and would be able to advise me, so I was just happy to explore it myself and keep a really good training log, so I would know when my performance was good. I would go back and look at what I had ate the week previous, and what wasn't so good, I would look at that, and I just, over the course of about a year and a half, I got a really good gauge of what was working well for me and what wasn't, and then just compile that and made a whole program out of it that did work very well.
And do you train others as well, or is it basically your own stuff that you do on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's really just my own. I did, as I got better at being an athlete and I started getting some really good results and I was improving quicker than a lot of other athletes, I would get questions from other athletes how I was able to improve my performance so quickly and how my recovery was so good. And So then I would tell them what I was doing, and some of them got quite curious and tried it too and found it worked well for them as well. So, yeah, informally, other athletes have followed this. I personally don't coach any athletes or train anyone, but I give talks on it, of course, and I wrote about it in my book. So that's more how I pass it on, more so than one-on-one.
Great. Well, let's take a quick break because I want to touch base a little bit about your book and what your daily routine is like, as well as some other great information that you have about your line that you created. So if you don't mind coming back with us after our short break, that would be great.
For sure.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We will be back with Brendan Brazier.
Hard at work for over 60 years, Dram watering tools have been the professional's choice for quality and durability. Now you can create the softest shower of rain. 9 water patterns for a variety of uses, or a lush green playground. Quality you can depend on for a lifetime. Dram, the professional's choice for lawn and garden. Available at a fine garden center near you.
Hello, I'm Matt Bullock, the travel guy, with your daily travel tip. Listen to these record-breaking statistics set by a Boeing 777 commercial airliner. It flew from Seattle, Washington to Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, nonstop, a distance of 12,455 miles, at a speed of 553 miles an hour, and it took about 21 hours. Upon landing, it refueled and just under 2 hours took off again for the return trip to Seattle, Washington, a flight that only took 18 hours. What does this mean to you as a traveler? Two things. First, today's aircraft are faster and can bridge great distances safer than at any time in aviation history. Second, air travel from west to east is always swifter. This is due to the prevailing direction of the Earth's air mass, most importantly, the jet stream. So a smart travel tip would be, if you are already on the other side of the globe and need to fly home, go east, not west, and save some time. And that's your daily travel tip. I'm the travel guy, Matt Bullock.
All right, welcome back to Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. We are back on with vegan athlete Brendan Brazier. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, Brendan. All righty, so we were just talking about, you mentioned before the break that you had written a book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. It's called Thrive, and it's a book that I actually wrote the first version of back in 2004. I was racing professionally in Ironman triathlon, and I did that for 7 years, from 98 till 2004. And unfortunately, I was actually hit by a car in 2004, so I couldn't race that year. But on the bright side, it freed up a bunch of time for me. So I decided to write and self-publish a short book, and that's what I did. And it came out back in 2004. But then I expanded it bunch over the next few years, put in a bunch of recipes, and it was published in Canada by Penguin, and it was called The Thrive Diet. But in the U.S., it was still just called Thrive, and it came out earlier this year in paperback. So the general idea of it is reducing stress through better nutrition. Mm-hmm. And when you can reduce stress, you reduce, of course, the symptoms of stress. And the symptoms of stress are, I think, what a lot of North Americans can relate to, such as sugar cravings, starch cravings, mild flu-like symptoms, trouble sleeping, weight gain, things like that, that I think, you know, we've all experienced at some point in our life. And it comes from simply too much stress, which means cortisol, stress hormone, goes up, and then that triggers all those things to happen. And what I found is that a large portion of that stress, a very large portion, can be attributed to what we eat. Some foods create stress, others help relieve it. So I kind of based my nutrition program around that, and that made a big difference. I noticed that I was able to recover a lot faster because my stress levels were lower physically, and that helped me improve. So that's the book I wrote about it.
Great. Can you share with us kind of what your daily routine and what your daily menu kind of consists of while you're training?
Sure. I eat a plant-based diet, so completely vegan, And that means, of course, not just no meat, but no animal byproducts as well, like dairy or eggs. So I like eating quite often. I'm not the sort of person who sits down and eats three big meals a day. I like to graze throughout the day. So I eat lots of fruit and vegetables. I have a smoothie each day, one that's based on what I made for myself back when I was 15. It's evolved a lot over the years, but it's one that I still have a similar base to, and it's a product now that you can buy called Vega, and it's in most health food stores, but I'll have that for breakfast. And then, yeah, like I say, I'll eat lots of fruit, lots of vegetables. I have a big salad every night as my main course for dinner. It has all kinds of things in it, all different types of lettuce and avocado and all types of sprouts, and really a lot of variety. That I find is really good too. But the main thing is plant-based whole foods. That is, I think that's the key.
Great. And you train year-round, correct? Or do you ever take any time off, or is there a specific season that you train for?
I really train year-round. And I know some athletes don't do that, but I enjoy it a lot. And I find that it complements the rest of my life too. I find that when I'm able to get out for a run, as I am most mornings, I feel better during the day, and I'm able to actually work better, write better, and just feel better in general. So I find it's a complementary activity to a good life in general, and I don't think it takes away from it at all. So I think that's the best case scenario, to have something in your life that is not necessarily balancing. And by balancing, of course, a lot of people think that balance, you know, means it takes away from it in a sense, but this is complementary. So that's what I like most about this, is that it's a complementary activity as opposed to having to balance it with other things. So, yeah, I find it really helpful.
And how often do you compete in your specific sports? I know you do triathlons and Ironman and that sort of thing, so how often, like how many times a year do you think that you compete?
Well, when I was racing full time, it was probably five or six. Most of those were shorter races, like half Ironman races, and then one or two Ironman races a year. And Ironman is pretty long. It's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, and then a marathon, so 26.2 miles. So it's the sort of race that takes over 9 hours to do, and you can only really do one or two really good ones per year. Other than that, it's the quality will suffer a bit. So I would like to keep that usually at, like I say, around two, and then do a bunch of half Ironman races mixed in there that aren't obviously as strenuous on the body.
Cool. And I know you mentioned earlier that you came up with Vega products, and I am a huge fan of Vega products, as well as many of my other vegan as well as non-vegan friends. And I would love to know kind of how the process, I know that you said since you were 15, you were kind of creating your own little shakes. When did you finally find the perfect recipe for Vega, the powders, and then go into the bars and all that stuff?
Well, it evolved quite a lot. As I was saying, it started off really quite crude, and then as I learned more and as I felt better using it, it kept on evolving up to the point of 2004, which is when I bought it out of the product. I partnered with someone else to actually get it produced and bring it out, a company called Sequel Naturals. And it's a Canadian company. I'm from Vancouver, so it started off in Canada. And it was in Canada for about a year before it came to the U.S. And then from there, yeah, like you said, we developed bars as well. So they were bars, same kind of thing that I just made for myself for years and years. And the recipes for the bars and the shakes, too, are actually in the book. So people can make them themselves, or they can buy the commercial version. But, yeah, really just whole food, plant-based ingredients, and synergistically combined, as we say, in that each ingredient has a purpose, and each one is there to do something specific. So it definitely does make a difference.
Do you have a favorite Vega shake recipe that you can share with our listeners that to optimize workouts or kind of get you through the day?
Yeah, there's actually a couple different ones that I make on a fairly regular basis. Sometimes I'll just have it mixed with water, which I like, but sometimes I'll get a little bit fancier and blend the natural flavor Vega in with a banana and a pear and ginger, fresh ginger, and blend that all together. That's really good. And there's another one, too, that's chocolate Vega with almonds or soaked almonds. If you soak almonds overnight, they blend together smooth, or you can use almond butter and blend that in with a banana and some blueberries, and that's really good, too. So those are a couple of my favorites.
They sound really good. They sound more like dessert than a breakfast pick-me-up. And what I know you have, since Vega started, there's a whole line now. There's the powders and the bars. What are all the products in the line now?
Yeah, it's the main one is called Vega Complete Whole Food Health Optimizer, which is the complete smoothie, the complete shake that has the enzymes, probiotics, vitamins, and minerals, all those things. Then there's Smoothie Infusion. It's kind of a stripped-down version of that. That's just protein, essential fats, fiber, and greens, and that's what you would mix into a smoothie and blend it with something else. And then there's Energy Bars, which are the ones that I made for myself for years and are very easy to make, actually, the ones that the recipes are in the book for. And then there's a new one called Vibrancy Bars, which is more of a balanced bar, and that's it's got a little bit more carbohydrate, I mean a little bit more protein, a little bit more fat than just the energy bars that are more carbohydrate-based. And there's also the newest product that is actually not in the U.S. yet. It will be, should be by the end of the month, and it's called Vega Sport Performance Optimizer. And that's basically a healthy version of a sport drink. So it's fuel, but instead of having the carbohydrate source be high fructose corn syrup, which it is for a lot of the commercial drinks, it comes from organic whole grain sprouted brown rice. So obviously it's a really natural type of sport drink, and there's electrolytes, and there's green tea and yerba mate, and it's it really does work. You drink it, and about 20 minutes later, you can definitely feel a difference and have that before or during a workout, and it's noticeable.
Wow, you've thought of everything, Brendan. Good stuff. Where can we find out some more information about you and about Vega and to get involved and follow the Thrive Diet and all that good stuff?
Well, my website is brendanbrazier.com, and that's BrendanBrazier.com. And then the Vega website is myvega.com, so myvega.com. And also, too, I should let you know about a new website that went up about 3 or 4 months ago. It's called thriveand30.com, thriveand30.com. And that's basically in response to people who ask for an easier way to get the information instead of just reading the book, because I've got some really good positive feedback about the book, people saying how it really helped them a lot. But to be honest, they didn't think that their son would read it or their grandparents. And how can I get the information out there to people who are not going to take the initiative to read the book? And I thought that was a really good question, a really good comment. And so this is what I came up with, Thrive in 30. So what you do is you put in your email address, and you get 3 emails a week for 4 weeks, and each one has a video segment and some concise text. It's just really simple, basic things you can do that are based on the book to start living this lifestyle and feeling the results. And it's a free program. And the videos were all just filmed by me. I just filmed them myself, zero budget, just really really basic, but they do get the message across. And I think it's a good way to, like I say, get to a whole new group of people who may not take the initiative to read the book. And unfortunately, the people who need the information the most are the ones who are least likely to read the book. So that was in an attempt to try and just get it out to a broader group of people.
That's really smart. Great idea, Brendan. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I really enjoyed speaking with you and hearing about how you started and how far you've come and all the wonderful products that you've brought to us vegans, as well as the rest of the non-vegan world, because I think the products that you've created are just wonderful for all kinds of people, and whether it's a supplement or a complement or part of your daily diet. So thank you so much for coming on today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Carolyn.
Sure. Take care. Stay with us, because after the break, we are going to have in studio with us one of the most inspirational guests that I have ever had on the show to date. So please stay with us.
You drink it? Cook with it? It's there every time you turn on the faucet. But what do you really know about your tap water? Do you know where it comes from or what's in it? You should, and now you can. Your water supplier will soon be sending you a short new report about your water. Look for it in the mail, and when it comes, read it. Don't let this chance to learn about your drinking water go down the drain. Learn more by calling your water supplier or 1-877-EPA-WATER.
Road Rage Crisis Line.
I feel so depressed.
Oh, it's not as dark as it may seem.
But I'm always being pushed down.
You know, recognizing the problem is the first step.
Oh, I recognize the problem. He's always late.
I see.
And I never move fast enough for him. But what can I do? I'm just a gas pedal.
So, he exceeds the speed limit?
Exceeds the speed limit? He runs red lights, he races around other drivers, and then he yells if he thinks they're going too slow.
Well, maybe it's time to start putting your foot down.
Well, maybe it's time he stopped putting his foot down.
An overworked gas pedal might sound crazy, but putting your life at risk by whipping through traffic and running lights is just plain insane. Think about it, and ease up on aggressive driving.
If he keeps pushing me at this pace, I'm bound to run out of gas.
Well, maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Keep your cool, and put the brakes on road rage.
This message was brought to you by your friends at AdrenalineRadio.com. Log on, then call. AdrenalineRadio.com.
Hi, this is Richard Karn with a message about how you can help protect the environment. Recycle your old rechargeable batteries. It's easy. The next time you need a new rechargeable battery for your cell phone, laptop computer, or cordless power tool, make sure you recycle the old one. To learn more about recycling rechargeable batteries, call me at 1-800-8-BATTERY or visit us on the web at rbrc.org.
A public service message of this station and RBRC.
When I was president, the world succeeded in one of the most remarkable public health efforts ever achieved, wiping out the dreaded smallpox disease. Today, we face a new global epidemic that is positioned to become even more widespread than smallpox. That disease is diabetes. Just as we came together to defeat smallpox, we must come together to confront the global epidemic of diabetes. Diabetes affects more than 21 million children and adults in the United States alone. And if nothing is done to stem the tide, 1 in 3 Americans born in the year 2000 will develop diabetes in their lifetime. The health of our nation is at stake. I have decided to do my part to fight diabetes, and I encourage you to get involved today.
Thanks for tuning into Healthy Voyager Radio here on AM 1680, KDSV, AdrenalineRadio.com, and AdviceRadio.com. My next guest has been on two wheels since the age of 3. After earning amateur racing titles in motocross at a young age, Aaron received his professional license in September of 1998. In February of 1999, Aaron signed with the professional racing team in Southern California, and in May of that same year, the promising motocross star was forced to into early retirement. In studio, tell us their inspirational story, are Aaron Baker, along with his teammate, coach, and mom, Laquita Conway. Welcome.
Hey, thanks.
Sure. So tell us what happened in May of 1999, Aaron.
May 1999 was a glorious month. It ended less than spectacular, though. I was 20 years old, racing my motorcycle, traveling the country, living my dream. You know, I'd been chasing after that for a long, long time. I wrote it on the wall in my bedroom. I want to be a national champion. I loved what I was doing. Pretty much thought I had the world in the palm of my hand. And I was practicing one afternoon, kind of a hurried session. I had just built a new race bike, and I was on this new team and had a lot of excitement around it. So I went out for a practice session. The sun was going down. It was a beautiful afternoon, and the bike wasn't running very well. I knew that, and I kept riding it anyways.
Oh, no.
And there were some kids out there watching me and a couple other guys doing laps, you know, kind of showing off for them, having fun. And I came around this one corner, and it was a long straightaway full of bumps and jumps and ruts, and it was a really big jump that usually the really big jumps are the only time on the track where you get to kind of relax.
Mm-hmm.
You loosen your grip on the handlebars. You take a couple deep breaths. But that this particular jump, the bike malfunctioned right at the wrong time, and it flung me over the handlebars. And I've done it before. I've crashed many, many times. I've broken little bones here and there, legs and stuff. But I had knee braces on my legs, new knee braces, which are supposed to protect the knee. But the problem with that is if it hyperextends the knee, then it's going to break the femur or the lower leg.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what was running through my mind when I was crashing. I was thinking, oh, no, I don't want to break my leg. And so instinctively, somehow I tucked into a ball. I kind of over-rotated like I was somersaulting. And when I hit the ground, I compressed my helmet into my chest, and it ended up breaking my neck.
Oh, no.
And I could hear my neck break. It is a very vivid memory for me. It's kind of like a wet celery stalk snapping.
Yikes.
Ugly. The sound haunts me still. But fortunately, I stayed very coherent. I was awake, and I came to rest at the bottom of the track, or at the track, in the dirt, and my left hand was directly in front of my face. I remember looking at it, and I immediately knew what had happened. It was always my biggest fear. A lot of motorcycle racers will, if they admit it, paralysis. You never want to be paralyzed. But I understood it right then and there. I kind of...
That was your first thought? Was
well...
I may be paralyzed?
No, I am paralyzed.
You are paralyzed.
I am paralyzed.
You knew it.
I knew it. My body was as still as the rocks that lay next to me. I mean, I was barely breathing.
Wow.
But it was, somewhat of a state of shock. The friends rushed to my side, and I instinctively, told them not to move me, don't touch me.
Mm.
Just call a helicopter. Forget the ambulance,
Right.
Get a helicopter there.
Smart.
Yeah, so it's that chapter basically closed, right then and there, in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that was it, and I was okay with that. Somehow, some new doors were opening up, and I could almost see a future for myself beyond motorcycle racing.
So what happened directly after that? You obviously had to go through physical therapy of some sort, and the doctors, of course, told you, we'll do the best we can, and that spiel.
It's definitely a spiel. It's been such a daunting process since that moment there in the dirt. They rushed me to the hospital. Somehow they put me right into surgery, which is not very common for my level of injury, for that severe of an injury. They usually wait like a week before they even operate, but they rushed me into surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up actually suffering 6 days later respiratory failure.
Wow.
And that was really the most profound moment in my life, when I recognized my own mortality, really. I heard the machine's flatline. I could sense and feel this, what I explain when I speak to people, it was a dissolving of my reality, of what I thought I knew, what I thought was important, what I understood, and it was an infinite connectivity that is just a sense of real peace and bliss.
Hmm.
But then I was resuscitated, and I was brought back to this life. And here it is, my second go, and into this paralyzed body. And so, yeah, the process of recovery began. And it was started by my family, my mother right here, Toots.
Yeah, let's hear from you what happened or what went through your mind. I remember you telling me many years ago the feeling that you felt when you saw him lying there in that contraption of the traction and all that kind of stuff, what you were thinking at that moment, and that you wouldn't take no for an answer from the doctors telling you that he had a 1 in a million chance.
Truthfully, the only thing that I tried to do initially was breathe, because when I got the phone call that he had been hurt and was going into surgery, I was actually out of state. I had purchased a farm in the Midwest just 1 year prior to this injury. And I never asked any questions. I just arrived at the hospital. I knew in my in my heart that something horrible, horrible had gone on. And so standing at his bedside, I was just, in trying to breathe, I knew that if I didn't get myself together, there was no way, no possible way, that Aaron would have any kind of chance without complete, total support.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was never any question for me as to what I was going to do. I just suddenly started looking at his body as being in a negative state. And whatever I was being told kind of went in one ear and right out the other, because all I knew is if we did not act, if his body wasn't moved from the absolute beginning, that they were going to be perfectly right, that he would live a life of having no function from the neck down. So my way of really dealing with myself and in turn dealing with him was to, I brought in a water fountain, Japanese water fountain, CD music was playing. I brought in like rainforest music, ocean, thunderstorms,
Gregorian chants, Tibetan music,
all of that. And so we transformed the ICU room into this healing sanctuary. And my mind went into a single point focus of, we are going to get better. We're going to improve this horrific situation. And I just wouldn't allow, any other possibility or thought to come in. And we
That's
just functioned in that fashion for, I mean, in some ways we still do.
Mm-hmm. And it's paid off.
Oh.
When did you start researching the alternative therapies and hook up with this coach who trains spinal cord injury patients?
That was at the 1 year post-injury anniversary, and actually a couple of months prior to the end of the hospital or traditional rehabilitation, they were beginning to say that the maximum potential was being reached. And I thought, and I mean, for Aaron, all he wanted to do was work. And at that time, he was operating the joystick of a wheelchair.
Wow.
With every other, I mean, from feeding, all of his personal care, everything, turning in bed at night, everything was being done by myself or, you know, other family members.
My dad, my sister,
wow,
even friends would step up and come in.
Well, you got a great support system.
Well, they supported Mom and I and allowed us to just stay, you know, steadfast at what we were doing.
So for those of you who don't know how Aaron is doing today, he walks, and not only does he walk, he rides a bike cross country and has done it twice. So tell us about your first milestone in walking and movement again after this time.
Well, I get that question a lot, like, when did you first, you know, start moving or taking your first steps? And really the first movement was my sister Ariel ended up painting my toenails rainbow rainbow colors in the hospital. I couldn't move anything, and so, you know, she just had her way. So my left big toe was blue and my right was pink and so on, and I would visualize these colors through my body. I basically had rainbow colors of light and a lot of visualization, which I used before my injury with racing and visualizing, you know, a perfect outcome or a win.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I started flickering my left big toe, and that turned into a little bit more of a muscle contraction in my left leg, and we just built on those and celebrated and rejoiced, you know, those flickers of movement.
Yeah.
Like tiny little, if my finger would just flick, it was like huge, you know?
Wow.
And we built on those, and until one day my initial physical therapist had me in 4 feet of water. It mm-hmm. was really the aquatic therapy that eliminated gravity. So that I could, you know, those flickers of movement became actual steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the water, I had my therapist assisting me with those movements. And then we transitioned it to the parallel bars or above ground. And those steps were in walkers and leg bracing and all kinds of modalities to assist me. And we've been building on that year after year until finally... we started pedaling a bicycle. Started with electrical stimulation. they hook these pads up to your muscles, and they basically shock you.
Wow.
Yeah. And they shock the muscles into moving and contracting, and it would pedal a recumbent bicycle. And from that, I went to the recumbent bicycle in, like, you see in a gym.
Right, where you sit and you
pedal. Exactly. And I was pedaling that, and then the upright bicycle, and there was this tandem bicycle hanging on the wall in this one facility we were at, and I'd never seen a tandem bike before that. I never recognized it. I was never going to sit backseat on a,
you know, on a bike.
On a bike. Been holding handlebars since I was three, you know, so... But that day, I noticed that bike on the wall. I went, look at that. There's a, I think I could do that. You know, I could sit on the back of that, and and somebody could steer it and shift it and brake it as long as I tell them how to do it.
Right.
And one day, Mom and I, we were giving a presentation, and I just, for some reason, blurted out and said, we're going to ride this tandem bicycle, and I want somebody to ride it with me. And Mom stepped up right away. She said, I'll ride that thing with you. So we began riding it. And the first time, it was barely 5 minutes. I mean, I could barely even sit on the seat and hold my torso up.
Right.
My upper body's, you know, everything's compromised.
Yeah.
My hands, my arms, my chest, my stomach, back, everything. And so from 5 minutes to 5 miles to 10 miles to all of a sudden, let's start setting goals. And Mom and I decided... let's ride the tandem in the LA Marathon.
Wow.
So we worked our butts off for the LA Marathon, and we completed that. And then in another presentation, we had already completed, I think, two LA Marathons, and we're like, shoot, if we're going to ride this thing, let's just ride it across the country like Forrest Gump. And that's what we did. We started this the plan to develop the Rise Above Tour.
Excellent.
That's where it came from, the Rise Above Tour. We rode from, in 2007, from San Diego, California, 3,182 miles to St. Augustine, Florida.
Wow.
It was epic.
And you've done it twice now, though. Where's the second one?
Well, it's about progression, right?
Right, of course.
Always moving forward, healthier, stronger, faster, better tomorrow. And so once we hit the sand in St. Augustine... I was like, forget this tandem. I'm over sitting backseat.
Thanks, Mom. I'm doing this alone.
No, we had a lot of great rides together. And actually, on that tour, we had a great team of people. My best friends, Adam Bice, Adam Zerbe, Ben Marius. My dad came on, Dan Baker, Ariel, my sister. Just a support group that allowed Mom and I to get to St. Augustine.
Yeah.
And the second one was... the Transamerica Trail. I was on my own bike this time.
Wow.
I had been researching a way to get onto my own bike and do my own work. And in Europe, they've got this thing called the Tricycle Association, where the regular upright bikes, like you see, racing, Lance Armstrong, whatever, and it just has an axle in the rear. So there's two wheels in the rear and one in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really fast. They're really light. They're amazing machines. And I thought, wow, I think I can do that, you know?
Cool.
Because I don't have a problem with balance. It's just starting and stopping.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit safer for me. When I get tired, I can just stop.
Right.
And not worry about
and
coming
unclipped. And
keel
over. Right.
So I built this trike. We had this bike built. There's only one other one like it in the country. It's in Florida. And that kid is, he's a cool cat. We actually race each other now. But the second tour... we rode this tricycle, Mom and I, from San Francisco, California, straight through the middle of the United States all the way to Washington, D.C.
Holy cow.
4,202 miles.
I wouldn't even ride my bike that far.
And I was in the back of him this time.
Oh, taking back seat, Mom.
Taking back seat.
No paddling, she's quite a cyclist.
Yeah, no joke. You should see the bod on this woman. So, okay, so Rise Above, and I know that you have on your website, aaronbakers.com, have met throughout the years a bunch of other extreme sports injured kids and people, and heard their stories, and a lot of them have been inspired by you, and you've been inspired by them, because a lot of them have kind of done what you've done to a certain extent. Like, I know there's that kid who's a surfer who, I don't know if he was paralyzed or what happened, but now he's surfing again. And there's a young girl who, so you know a bunch of people who have gone through this devastating injury, whether it be paralysis or something like it, and are kind of back, you know, on the horse again.
Yeah, just getting back to life and living with passion and purpose. I'm incredibly inspired by my peers who have gone through similar adversity. My good friend, Terry Yannis, professional mountain biker. This chick just kicks so much butt. You know, she broke her back 2 years ago, and now she's training for Paralympic sports, cycling.
Wow.
And actually Ironman as well. She wants to be the first female to actually complete, and then, you know, knowing Tara, she wants to win it. But triathlons from her wheelchair.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And I saw photos of you guys in front of the Olympic training stadium. What's that all about?
Well, progression, right?
Right.
I mean, what do? I have to... Seriously, Carolyn, if I stop doing what I do, I regress really fast.
Yeah.
For me, I can be a good example of what happens when you lead a sedentary lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
If your diet goes, you know, out the
south,
window.
Yeah.
If it goes south, if you sit on the couch and click the clicker and... You know, you're not active, and my body resorts back to paralysis really, really fast.
Wow.
For example, just 3 weeks ago, I kind of overdid my training. I went to the U.S. Nationals for cycling, for Paralympic cycling. And
wow.
I trained all summer long for that, and I was super healthy. I was at the peak, the best I've ever ridden. And then I came home, and I wanted to take a little break. I went to Vegas, had a little fun, got off the bike for about a week. And then I got back to my training, but I overdid it a little too much too soon.
Mm-hmm.
My immune system was compromised. I got strep throat. I got really sick for about a week.
Wow.
And then the fires here in Southern California took their toll on me. And so literally for about a month, I was off the bike, and I felt like absolute trash. Seriously, my body stopped moving well. I stopped eating well. I stopped sleeping well.
So it's like starting all over
again.
It's
a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
It's just a downward spiral that if you don't stop that, you know, stop that cycle and change your habits and your patterns, get back to health, healthy foods, sleep patterns, you know, exercise is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I'm coming back up and I'm back on my program, training, riding, and... The feeling that I have now when I go to sleep, the self-induced suffering, I call it, helps me sleep so much better. And so progression, Olympics. You know,
that's awesome.
That's where we're going next.
Yeah, I'm going to see you win that gold, kid. See it. Kid, what are you talking about? He's like my age.
Right?
Well, I'll tell you what. You are such an inspiration to me. And which is why I wanted to bring you on the show, because, again, like what you mentioned, your situation is the perfect example as to why folks who aren't paralyzed should stay healthy, because it shows so quickly in you how your body just goes back to, you know, when you don't take care of yourself. And we may not see it as quick, the results as quickly as you
do,
but it happens. Our bodies deteriorate and our bodies get, you know, lazy. And it's tough to get back on track, and it does us so much good to stay on track, both diet-wise and exercise-wise and all that stuff. What quickly, before I wrap the show, what advice would you give to folks who've encountered the same injury, and where can we find out some more information on you?
Well, advice, you know, just recognize the lessons in the suffering. We're all going to suffer one way or another in life. We get to choose sometimes how we suffer. Go through that process. You know, if you feel like crap one day, feel like crap. You know, allow yourself that. But then also recognize it, and you can turn it around. We do have the power. We are incredibly powerful beings. And if we can just stay in that moment of, you know, awareness, we can create our future, our visions. So, you know, hold your loved ones close to you. It's all about the people around you. Together, each achieves more. I mean, when we say teamwork, T-E-A-M, it's so true. And, you know, just be grateful for the moments that we have, each and every breath, because literally it can, like a light switch, be turned off.
Yeah.
And when it's off, well...
Yeah. then it's that much tougher.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you can find us. Mom and I are on AaronBakers.com. My last name is Baker, but it's my website. So
yeah,
AaronBakers.
Yeah, if you go to Aaron Baker, it's some big old muscly guy.
It is.
That's not Aaron.
That's not me. I'm a skinny white boy.
Yeah, it's AaronBakers.com. And he's also on Twitter and Facebook, right?
Yes, I'll Twitter right now.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Aaron and Laquita, for being on the show. I hope that everyone was inspired. Make sure that you visit BrendanBrazier.com and AaronBakers.com for more information on today's guests, as well as their products and organizations and more. And again, yes, you can follow them on Facebook and Twitter and keep up with all the good things these guys are doing. As for me, the Healthy Voyager, make sure you follow me on Twitter as well, Healthy Voyager, and check out HealthyVoyager.com. And before we leave the show, we are going to play a song by Miss Jess Hudak. And Jess Hudak is a gluten-free gal playing some wonderful songs. She has opened for artists like Maroon 5, Howie Day, Tonic, and Five for Fighting. Check out her songs on MySpace and Facebook, as well as on her site, Jess Hudak. That's JESHUDAK.com. And the song that we'll be playing is This is a National Holiday. Make sure you check back in with us next Thursday. I will be chatting with Peter Bilegas. He is Young America's financial coach. We're going to get financially and fiscally fit on next week's show. Make sure you check in with us and check in later today on iTunes or HealthyVoyager.com. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you again next week. Have a healthy one. One day you were made into a national holiday.